Good morning. Bokeh Tov. Today's daf is daf Kaf Ches, daf 28. We left off at the top of the page on 28a, Kaf Ches Amud Aleph, towards the top of the page. Five lines from the top of the page. First word on the line, Tashema. The Gemara says, come and listen. So the Gemara says, Shor She'ala Al Gabei Chaveru La'orgo. If one ox goes on top of another ox to kill it, Uba Ba'ala Tachton V'Shamat Et Shelo, and the owner of the ox on the bottom went and pulled his ox out, V'nafal Elyon V'met, and the one on top fell and died, Patur, this owner is exempt. So the Gemara says, now what we're trying to do here is we're going to spend half the Amud bringing proofs back and forth. If a person is, like we discussed yesterday, we had a machloket, im avid inish, as din al-nafshay, if you're allowed to make judgment in your own hands and go and take out the judgment without the Beit Din, so we're going to try to bring proofs both ways to see if maybe you are or you're not allowed. So the Gemara says, my love be muad, the lake of pseda, is it's not talking about a case where it's a muad animal, and there is no pseda, there's no loss, he's not going to lose out. And so therefore, you see from here that a person is allowed to take judgment into his own hands. So the Gemara says, no, it's talking about betam, it's talking about a tam animal, a calm animal. The ikah pseda, there would be a loss, because if it was a calm animal, it only would have been half a damage you would receive. And there, if you would have waited and gone to the Beit Din, and then the animal actually died. So therefore, that's why there's a pseda, there was a loss if he had waited, and therefore he's allowed to take judgment into his own hands. The Gemara says, Yachi, if that's the case, Ema Seifa, go to the latter part of the Baraita. Dechafola Elyon Mamet, if he pushed the animal on top down and the animal died, Chayav, he's liable. So the Gemara says, Vi Betam, if we're talking about a calm animal, Amai Chayav, why is he liable? So the Gemara says, Shayalo the Shamto Velo Shemato, because he should have removed his animal and not pushed the other animal. And that's why he's liable. But it's not to say that you're not allowed to make din for yourself, make judgment for yourself. When it says again, Tashma, come listen again. If someone fills the courtyard of his friend with jugs of wine and jugs of oil, the owner of the courtyard can walk through, break the jugs, walk through, go in and out. So what do you see? Person is allowed to make judgment for himself. Someone put these things in my courtyard, I'm going to walk through and break them. So the Gemara says, no. Amarim Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Mishaber V'yotzeh Beit Din. Mishaber V'nichnas La'aviz Zechuyotav. No. He can break them if he's no room to get out and he wants to go to the Beit Din for this. Or as he's coming back in to bring this Chuyot to show, if the guy, let's say, was saying, this is my property, and he was saying, no, this is my courtyard, it's my property. He comes and brings the documents that show that he purchased this property. And he can break the kinyan. Tashema, the Braita says again, how do we know? If you have a slave, we know by a slave that he is slave for 6 years. Then, after the 6 years are done, they do something called marzea, where they poke a hole in his ear, in the doorpost, and that's called a nirza. The person becomes a nirza, and therefore he goes free. So if a person says he doesn't want to go free, this nirza, his 6 years ended, and his master is telling him to get out, he doesn't want to go. And the master got upset, so he hit him, and he made a wound in the slave. Shu patur. How do we know that the master is exempt? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, Lo tikhu kofer lashuv. What does this mean? So the Gemara explains, Lo tikhu kofer lashav. Don't take a payment for a shav. What does a shav mean over here? So if you look at Rashi says, Lemisha retel lashuv lekilkulo leot evid. Someone who wants to go back to his bad stage of being a slave. If you hit him and you cause damage, you don't have to pay. So the Gemara says, what do you see over here? You see that a person is allowed to make din for himself. He can make judgment for himself. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a source. Hacha, b'may askina, what are we dealing with here? Be'avda genava. We're talking about a slave that steals. And that's why he's doing that, because there is going to be a loss. Potentially the slave can steal from him. So the Gemara says, ada idna lo ganava, ashta ganav. What? Until now, his slave didn't steal from him. Now, after the 6 years are over, the slave can steal from him? So the Gemara says, ada idna hava imted rabbe ale. Until now, the master's fear was upon the slave. Hashta leitle imted rabbe ale. But now that the 6 years are done, there's no more fear, and so therefore he's going to come and steal. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, Rav Nachman says, Be'evet shemasal rabo shivcha kna'anit. It's talking about a slave that one's master gave him a shivcha kna'anit, a Kna'anite maidservant, to marry. Ada idna hetera, until now, while he was a slave, that woman was permitted to him. Be'ashla yisura, but now the woman becomes forbidden to him. And that's why he's allowed to hit him, to remove him from doing that isur. Tashema. Amaniach et dakad b'Rishut HaRabim, we started our chapter by saying somebody places a jug in the Rishut HaRabim, uba acher, and somebody else came, v'nitkal ba'u shvara, and he tripped on it, and he broke it, patur is exempt. That's because he tripped on it. But if he intended to break it, he'd be liable. So what do you see? That a person is not allowed to make judgment and take it into his own hands. You have to go to the Beit Din. So the Gemara says, "Hu adin da filo shivara." No, even if he had broken it intentionally, he's still patur. He's exempt. Why does it say he tripped over it? We saw this earlier. Since he wanted to teach on the latter part of the Mishnah, if the owner got hurt from it, he is liable in the damages. The dafka nitkal, that's only if he tripped on it. But if he... if the guy tripped on it and got hurt, the owner would have to pay the damages. The dafka nitkal, that's only if he tripped on it. Aval b'shavar, no, but if the guy had intended to break it, no, he doesn't. The owner doesn't have to pay. Du azik l'nafshe, he caused the damage. The guy who tripped on it, or really he broke it himself, he was trying to break something and he got hurt from it, he's causing the damage to himself. So that's why, since it taught in the latter part of the Mishnah, tripping, katani resha nitkal, it taught in the beginning part of the Mishnah, tripping, to be consistent, even though the beginning part of the Mishnah could even be talking about breaking intentionally. Tashma, the Baraita says again, "Bikatzotah et kapa." We said yesterday by the two men who were fighting, and the woman grabbed the private part, and then what we say is we cut off her hand. So the Gemara says, "Mamun," it's talking about monetary. So what does this mean? My love, it's not talking about that she was unable to save him by any other means, any other way of doing so. Or Rashi says, Devedin ka'avda, she's doing what's correct in judgment. Alma, what do you see? Lo avit inish din l'nafshei. I feel like come say that even when there's a loss and there's no other way to go about it, you see that a person is not allowed to take judgment into their own hands. She cannot go and do that. When it says lo, that's not the case. She yechola la'atzila yedei devar acher. No, she was able to save him another way, and that's why she got punished. Aval eina yechola la'atzila yedei devar acher petura. But if she was not able to save her husband by any other means, and she did that, she would be exempt. When it says Yachi, if that's the case, Adetani Seifa, instead of saying in the latter part, Vishalcha Yada, that is, she sends her hand, Prat Lo Shilach Beit Din, excluding a case of a Shaliach of the Beit Din who causes any embarrassment, that he's exempt. Liflog Velitin the Beit Din, why don't we just argue on the topic itself? But Mentor Imamurim, what are we talking about? She's liable only if she would have been able to save her husband by other means. But if she was not able to save her husband by other means, she would be exempt by doing that. So the Gemara says, "Hachi nami kamar." This is what it meant to say. That's exactly what it meant to say. But what is it talking about? She's liable if she was able to save him by other means, and she did that. She grabbed the private. But if she was not able to save him by other means, her hand now becomes like the shaliach of the Beit Din, which would be exempt for causing damage or embarrassment. Tashema, the Braita says, "Hare shahita derech harabim overet betoch sadeu." If let's say somebody had the public like alleyway or public road that was coming into his field, so netalav and atan lahem min atzad, he took that alleyway, that road, and he said, "You know what? I'm going to break it up, and we're going to give this side. I'm going to give them to this side, like a side street for their side." And he does that to one side, not to the other side. So the Gemara says, "Masha Natan, v'shelo lo yigio." What he gave is good, but he doesn't get to take what he wanted to take. It doesn't belong to him. So the Gemara says, "Hold on, v'yamar David inish dinan avshei." If you say that person is allowed to take judgment into his own hands, linkut pazra v'leitiv. Why doesn't he just take a stick and go and sit there and say, "You know what? I'm going to hit anyone who comes and tries to go down this path." Right? Rashi says, "Yikach makel v'yeshev al derech harishon." Sit on the first path. That should be his now. Da dinahu. It's a judgment. What he gave is good. So you see from here that it sounds like you're not allowed to take judgment into your own hands. So the Gemara says, no, it's a decree over here that lest he gives those other people a crooked road that's not a straight path, and then would it be a fair judgment to take this long road that is, you know, going into the Rishut HaRabim and give this side road that wouldn't be wouldn't be straight, it would be a crooked not fair judgment. So Rav Misharshi Amar, he says no, binoten lahem derech haklaton. No, we're talking about a case of where he gave them this crooked land, this crooked path, and that's why he is not receiving his piece of the land, his piece of the road. So Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi says no, kol min atzad derech haklaton hu. Anything from the side is called derech haklaton, it's called like kind of crooked. right? Krova lazeh, rechuka lazeh. Because what does that mean? If you have this road, and he said, I'm going to break it and give them this piece towards their side of the land. So let's say this is the east. It's going to help the people on the south, but it's not going to help the people on the north. It makes it further for the people in the north. It makes it closer to the people in the south and not in the north. So therefore, it's unfair for those people on the other side. And when it says, Yachi, if that's the case, Amai shelo lo gyo. Why didn't he get his piece? Why didn't he get the first road himself? So lemelahu, shekulu ditchu v'havali didi. Why doesn't it just say, you take yours, and I'm going to take mine? So when it says, Mishum de Rav Yehuda, because of Rav Yehuda's opinion, Amar Rav Yehuda, mete shechiziku barabim asur lekalkelo. If you have a path that the public took hold of, they were made a chazakah on, you're not allowed to ruin that, you cannot break that, and that's why he would not get his piece of the road. Tashema, the bride, this is Bala Bait Shehiniach Pe'am Mitzad Echad. If a Bala Bait places a corner of his field, left it for the poor people, Ubao Ani'im and Atlu Mitzad Acher, and the poor people came and they started eating from the other side, from the other side, not from the Pe'ah side. Zeveze Pe'ah, both sides now become a corner of the field that's left for the poor. Umar says, oh, why? Why would that happen? If you say that a person can take judgment in his own hands, why do we say both of them are pe'ah? Why doesn't he just sit by the side that he made pe'ah originally? Anyone who comes there to try to eat, he just hit them, any of the poor people. It's not, you can't have two corners. Umar says, what does it mean both corners are pe'ah? That's just saying to exempt them from maaser. It's not actually that both of them are pe'ah. Kidatanya is a bright, this is a mafkirat karmo, which came up with Sarov. Somebody made his vineyard ownerless, and he woke up the next day, and he came and harvested it. Chaya veperet, odalot, ushikha upe'ah. He's obligated to give peret, which is any of the fallen fruits or left for the anim, odalot, or any of the incomplete fruits are left for the anim, ushikha, or any forbidden produce is left for the anim, upe'ah, and the corner of the field is left for the anim, upatur min maaser, and all of those, it's going to be exempt from maaser. So that's exactly what he's coming to teach us. It's not saying that both corners are pe'ah actually, that they have to be given to the poor, rather that one of them, that it's saying that they're both exempt from having to give maaser on. Okay, new Mishnah. Nishbara kado b'Rishut HaRavim. If somebody's jug or his pitcher broke in the Rishut HaRavim, v'uchlak echad b'mayim, and someone slipped on the water and got hurt, o shedaka b'charsit, or he got hurt from the glass shard from that jug, chayav, you're liable. So Rabbi Yehuda says, b'mitkaven chayav, b'eino mitkaven patur. No, if you had intention for that, then you're liable. If not, then you're exempt. So Amar Yehuda Amarav, lo shanu ela shetinfu kelav b'mayim. That's only if you cause his kelim to get dirty and cause that damage. Aval hu atzmo patur. But if you cause damage to the person himself, then you're exempt. Why karka olam izikato? That's because it's the land, it's the piece of land that's causing him damage. He slipped, yeah, there happened to be water there, but he slipped on the land. So therefore, since he slipped on the land, it's the land that's causing him damage and not you. Rashi says, your mamon, your water is only an indirect cause of that, and therefore indirect we do not have to pay for damages. So the Gemara says, "Ki amnita kamed Shmuel." When this is said in front of Shmuel, Amarli, he said, "Michti, let's see, avno v'sakino umaso miborol lamandu." He says, somebody left their stone, knife, or weight in the Rishut HaRavim and caused damage. This we learn from the bor, from the pit. V'kulan ani koreba en shor v'lo adam chamor v'lo kenim. In all of these cases, I call them, which we're going to see in the pasuk soon, the ox and not the man, the donkey and not the kelim. Vani mila linyan ktala, that's only for cases of death. Aval inyan nizakin, but if it's for damage, adam chayav kelim peturin, the person would be liable, and the kelim, for the damage of kelim, you'd be exempt. Meaning, if the kelim fell into a pit, the person would be exempt, the owner of the pit. But if a person fell in, your person would be liable. So over here, Rashi says, he's saying the water over here is considered like the pit. He's talking, he's saying you're only liable for the person damage, not for the actual kelim damage. This is Shmuel's opinion. Whereas, Rav, what would Rav say? That's only when he made it ownerless. If he did not make it ownerless, it's considered his money, and therefore we learn it from one's ox. And therefore, you'll be liable for the damages of the kelim and not for that of which of the person. So therefore, we have a machloket, Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara says, "Meiti Rav Oshaya." We have a contradiction. It says, "V'nafal sham mashor chomor," a ox or donkey falls into the pit. Shor v'lo adam, only an ox, not a human. Chomor v'lo kelim, donkey, not kelim. Mikan amru, from here you see, "Nafal etochos shor v'kelav v'nishtabru." If one's ox and its utensils, its pieces for it, the parts of the utensils that are used for the ox fall in, the equipment rather, the equipment falls in and breaks. Chamor v'kelav, or let's say chamor v'kelav nitkaru, or one's donkey and his equipment falls in, chayav, and it rips. Chayav ala behema upatur ala kelim. You're liable for the animal, but you're exempt for the kelim. So the Gemara says, "Hale mazedome." What is it similar to? Avno v'sakino umasao she'necham b'rishut arbim v'iziku. It's a stone, knife, or weight you left in rishut arbim and it caused damage. It's similar to that. The Gemara says, "Adarav." On the contrary, madome lazemi b'ayle. It should have said, "Where's the pasuk from?" The pasuk is talking about the animal and the kelim, right? Pasuk is not talking about the stone and the knife and the thing. So how can you say it's similar to the case of the stone? No, you have to say what is. You should say. What is similar to this? That's what you should say. So Ella the Gemara rephrases. What is similar to our case? Exactly that. The stone, knife, and weight you left in the Rishut Arbim and caused damage. That's what it's similar to. It's similar to this. So the Gemara says, therefore, if somebody broke one's glass cup on a stone, chayav, the owner is liable. The owner of the stone is liable. So hold on. The Gemara says, Reisha kashya l'rav. But Seifa, Kasha to Shmuel. The Resha of this is difficult to Rav. And the Seifa is difficult to Shmuel. Why? The Resha, we said, one stone, knife, is similar to the fifth. So that's difficult to Rav, because Rav said that one's liable for one's utensils. Over here it's saying it's similar to the pit, and by the pit you would be exempt. Whereas the Seifa is difficult to Shmuel, because over here it sounds like we're learning out from the shore, from the ox, that that over here, right, what did we say? That you'd be liable if, you'd be liable for the utensils and not for the person, because we're learning out from the ox. Whereas Shmuel had said that you'd be liable for the person and not the utensils. So what? How can you explain the machloket of here? So the Gemara says, "Ulitamich, according to you, tikshe lachi gufu." Why don't you ask a question on the topic itself? Reisha patur, v'seifa chayav. The beginning case you say is patur. The latter case you're saying is liable. How do you do that? Ela Rav mitaretz atameh, Shmuel mitaretz atameh. Rav and Shmuel answer their opinions. Rav mitaretz atameh. Rav explains. V'amid varim amorim. When is this the case? Kishahif kiran. When he made it ownerless. Avaloyif kiran. But if he don't make it ownerless, chayav, he's liable. If he chach, therefore, etiach tochido be'even chayav. If he somebody fell and hit their keli and broke it on a stone, the owner of the stone is liable. Shmuel mitaretz atameh. Shmuel answers opinion. Now that you said that one's stone, knife, and weight is like a pit, it's talking about Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, who is the Yachid, who says that if a person bangs his kelim into a pit and they break, the owner of the pit would be liable. Therefore, if somebody banged their kli and broke it on a stone, the owner of the stone would be liable. And one more case, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Lo Shanu Ela Shenitkal Be'Evin. What we were saying is only if he tripped on the stone, when he shof Be'Evin, and he broke the kli on the stone. Avanitkal Bakarka, when he shof Be'Evin Patur. But if he tripped on the ground and he fell and hit the kli on the stone, he would be exempt. The owner would be exempt. Kima, who is this following? Dilok Rabbi Natan. It's not following the opinion of Rabbi Natan. Where is this Rabbi Natan? So later on, Adaf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, we're going to see the opinion of Rabbi Natan. Over there he talks about, if let's say you have two people who are liable to pay, and one of them becomes exempt, the other person becomes liable to all of the payment. So over here also, if he's saying that, it's basically saying that if let's say you have, if somebody trips on the floor and he bangs his kli on the stone, therefore it's not two people being liable. It would only be the Rashi says the Amar leKaman b'shor sheDachav leChaveru leBor kolecha deLeka leShtalum miHaShor mishtalem miBor hayda avad leHezekah. So therefore he's saying that when it's not when the other person wouldn't have to be liable, then this one would have to pay the full damage. That's Rabbi Natan, but that's not what we're saying over here. What we're saying is if he tripped on the floor and he banged the kli on the stone and broke it, you would be exempt. Why would you be exempt? Why would you be exempt in such a case? It must be. It's not going like Rabbi Natan, because Rabbi Natan would not say you would be exempt. Some say, Amar b'Elazar, lo tema b'nitkal b'even, v'nishof b'even, hu mechayev. Don't say if he tripped on the stone and he banged it on the stone, he's liable, the owner's liable. Aval nitkal b'karka, v'nishof b'even, patur. But if he tripped on the floor and banged it on the stone, then he's exempt. Even if he tripped on the floor and he banged it on the stone, you'd be liable. Kiman, who is that following? Rabbi Natan. It's following Rabbi Natan. Why? Because you're not Who's the owner of the floor? Nobody. So you're not liable. It's a public domain. Nobody's liable for tripping you of the floor, but the full liability goes on the person of the stone. So therefore, we would say like Rabbi Natan, that the full liability goes on the person of the stone, and the person of the stone would have to pay you the full damage. We'll stop there for today and we'll do a quick 1-minute recap.